everybody. Hey, I am right here today for you, the Home Improvement Show. This is Rich Orris here for you, your trusted voice for everything home maintenance, remodeling, and repair. We can look at anything in your house, and we've got the next 2 hours for you. We're talking about making your home better for you, whether it means fixing what's broken, upgrading what's outdated, or just tackling the honey-do list that's been staring you down all week, maybe even all month. This is your time to call with questions about that leaky basement, kitchen remodels, energy efficiency, aging in place solutions, you name it, we're talking about it. No job too small, no project too big. If it's part of your home, I'm here to help you today. Again, like he said, you can give me a call, 314-436-7900. Again, that's 314-436-7900. Let's talk about how to keep your biggest investment in tip-top shape for you. Grab a cup of coffee, grab your notepad. This is the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. We're getting started right now. Do not hesitate. And again, Cardinals are holding off till a little later in the afternoon, so we've got the full 2 hours for you today for everyone. And I'm really excited this week in particular because Thursday afternoon I came in to the radio station and I got to be a part of the Dave Glover Show for a segment, getting interviewed, just talking about this show, talking about what we do, what I do for Mosby, how I try and help everybody. Man, that was so exciting. That was so much fun. I absolutely love them. And it was really cool to get to come into the station and have it not look like a desert with tumbleweed going by and literally like three people that I can find in the building on a Saturday. There were people at their desks. There were people coming around. I'm trying to find a spot where I can do a little Facebook video. And there were so many people around. It was hard to find a spot. And then a security guard walked up and I'm like, wow, we got a security guard in this place. She's like, can I help you? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to figure out how to use the Facebook Live and find a blank spot to be at for like 30 seconds. And so it was cool. It was exciting. It was great to see everything. Cause for me, of course, I come in, I'm here. There's not a lot of people around and I do my thing. I get some great questions. I get some great calls and topics from everyone out there. And, it's a wonderful thing, and I love to help out. It's what I do during the week at Mosby Building Arts, all throughout the week, going and visiting people and talking about their fireplace remodels and their kitchen remodels and their exterior projects and issues they're having and try and help and guide people into just really good projects, the best way to do things, what they should be considering for their situation. It's really, really kind of good to get to know everybody and hear really not just their project, because a project's a project, but there's different ways, there's different materials, there's better things. So really getting into the whole heart of what the intention is. I mean, you could want to remodel a kitchen, and if you're wanting to remodel that kitchen and love it and live in it and use it for yourself and have it a very, very long time, that's a different scenario than, yeah, I want to remodel this kitchen because I just bought this house and I'm hoping to flip it and make some money off of it. That's a completely different situation you got to look at. Those are pretty extreme, but there's also in-betweens for people. I don't know when I'm going. I'm not positive. It could be 2 years. It could be 5 years. It could be 10 years. You always kind of have this goal, and, you know, life throws things at you, kind of like life's been throwing a lot of rain, the flooding yesterday, all these things going on in the house with the water, with the rain, leaks, basements filling up. I'm sure there's a lot of that going on out there right now. So you can definitely call in and talk about some of those issues that you have. I'd love to get into some of the piping and how we manage water. And when you think about how our whole infrastructure can get overloaded, well, the pipes around your house can get kind of overloaded the same way. So maybe we get into some of that, and we talk about some of that today too. We've got a lot going on and a lot for you. So yeah, anything you need, I think we're going to get into our first break here, but don't forget, give me a shout. I'm right here for you. We'll have plenty of time today. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. And we just had Alan jump on the line. So if you can hold through a really quick break here, Alan, we'll get back to you as soon as we return. All right, everybody. Rich Orris here. Home Improvement Show, live and lively today at your service right here on KMOX. 314-436-7900 will get you straight to me. We've got a couple of them on the line here. So let's jump straight to Alan as promised and see what's going on. Alan, are you there?
I am here, sir.
Hey, thanks for calling. What's happening?
Well, I inherited my parents' house, and it's 53 years old, and the window wells are starting to fill up with the water. We never had the problem. Well, we had it 10 years, when we first built it at 10 years. But since then, it hasn't. So I need to come up with some kind of an idea to get the water out of the window wells without me having to go out there every 15 minutes and bail.
Okay, yeah. So definitely there's a kind of a site assessment needed to figure out what can be done with the water that's getting inside of those window wells, because typically years and years ago, 53 years ago or so, they would just kind of put some rock down there and do the window well, and they would just let that water go down to the footing and kind of catch some of the footing around the outside drainage around that footing. And as that over years stops working, ground does different things, and it just doesn't take the water away like it used to. We got to try and pick a different avenue for that water. So if the yard, and I've done this in the past, where the best way to do it is if you have enough fall in the yard to put a drain there and run a pipe out to a lower spot somewhere that can run that water away, that's going to be your best bet, lowest maintenance, and going to work relatively pretty well over time and continue to work. The downside is not all yards have that much fall. So if you can check that out, and you do, then you put drains in there, you tie them together, and you run a 4 or 6 inch pipe out and make that water go away. If you don't, then you're talking about some sort of drainage system like that, but it's with a sump pump, because you need to have something mechanical lift the water, get it to a spot where it can then roll downhill and go away. So that works. That's great. It requires more maintenance because you have to kind of monitor that sump pump, the electric, the power, and make sure it's working. Because if you don't, regrettably, you'll end up in the same spot with a sump pump not working and window wells filling up. So that's kind of the two areas there that you're in for a solution, and having someone out that does that to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a problem with that, though.
Uh-huh.
The problem is the side yard is only 5 feet wide, and the house is built on a clay under the earth. We're part of the it was a marshland at one time, so the water is coming up hydrostatically through the ground. So any water we put back out there is just going to come right back in. My idea was something like the septic system with a concrete box that we could drain the water into the concrete box underground and then reverse pump it back out in the summertime for the flowers.
Oh, so you're thinking like a cistern in the yard somewhere to run all this water to and then utilize that water later. I don't have a lot of information on anyone that does cisterns and storage things like that. Generally, when they do it for water runoff, it's not collectible. It's just a big giant hole full of rock, and it kind of fills up and then slowly dissipates. But if you're around a bunch of clay, that's not going to work either, because it's not going to want to slowly dissipate if it's holding it kind of like a pond or a lake. So the goal would be if you're just trying to make the water go away, you've got to get that pipe to a spot where it runs off, where it's like 10 feet from the street where the pipe ends. And when it comes out onto the surface of the ground, it runs to the street and runs away and literally goes away. You can't tie it into a sewer.
No, we have a septic system. We're not part of the sewer system.
Okay.
And we have our roads just go to ditches. Once the ditches fill up with water, there's no place for the excess water to go to.
Yeah.
Then it goes into the yards, and then the hydrostatic press starts pushing the water back up.
Yeah. And really, Alan, the trick to some type of cistern system that if you take this water and you put it into a big metal box or a big storage container, concrete, whatever this kind of cistern, we'd call it to store water for later use is, the issue I would see with that is you got to kind of try and come up with the theory of how big is this storage container. Well, what we've had in the past couple days, you might fill this thing up in one weekend, and then you get more rain again and you haven't had a chance to use it. Where's the water going? It's kind of the same as, you know, trying to get it away and to literally run away is key. But yeah, you put a pipe into, you got to watch where it comes out, because you put it into that trench, that ditch, and that ditch is full of water, you're just like a full cistern or anything else. So you got to be very strategic where you pump this water to if you don't have enough of a hill to gravity feed this thing away. And it sounds like you probably don't, you know, have that much.
When we built the house, we hit water at 8 feet. So we extended the foundation walls up, and then we added more dirt. So we actually sit slightly on a hill. The backyard is actually about 2.5 feet lower than the rest of the house.
Yeah.
So the only other place we could put the water would be in the backyard. But even then, you still have the problem of the water migrating back through.
Yeah, you might have to go pretty far. So your best, the 100% greatest environmental solution is drain this thing to some sort of cistern storage facility and then have your overflow of that, because they'll generally put like an overflow if it fills up. Now, here's a pipe that takes the extra out and gets rid of it, and you may need to take that pretty far out the backyard to get it away far enough that you're not just refilling your window wells and your cistern with the same circular water. So I would definitely recommend getting someone out, some kind of professional out to take a look at that and really see what's the grade, shoot grade, find out how far it falls. It really come up with a plan. Unfortunately, I don't know offhand anybody that does the storage stuff. But there's plenty of people that do kind of the water, the drainage, and all of that. So I think that's where you're at, Alan. I appreciate the call. great question. Yeah. I know you're up against a hard topic there, so I do appreciate it and hope that you can find a path to work that out for you. Let's jump over to Jim here real quick and see what Jim has going on for us. Jim, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Rich.
What's happening?
Hi, Rich.
Yeah, hello.
I have about a 7-year-old 1,500 square foot home that's built on a slab, and in the shower stall in the master bath, once every, well, say 2 or 3 weeks, there'll be a very bad rotten egg sewer smell that comes from the drain in the shower stall. I've tried using baking soda, vinegar, those types of solutions. They don't seem to do any good. You can look into the drain, and you can see there is water down there, so that apparently the trap is okay.
Okay.
The only solution I've found to have the odor go away is to go into the utility room in the garage where there's a floor drain in there, and dump a couple buckets of water down there. You do that, the odor in the master bath goes away. And I've been doing that for a couple of years, not knowing why it works, but it works.
Yeah.
So got disgusted doing that, trying to find a solution. So called a plumber. Plumber came out and looked down all the drains, thought that the traps were all working in the drains. He could not smell the odor in any other drain in the house. And he didn't really have a solution other than he said, well, I guess we could try a smoke bomb. And he didn't elaborate on what that would entail.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just calling to ask, do you think there's any other possibilities, or can you tell me what a smoke bomb would do? Does that mean, possibly tearing out walls? Or he was indicating that even though the smell comes from the shower stall drain, he said there could be cracks in vent pipes that the air would move it around from some other drain to that one, and that's where the odor's coming out of. And I wasn't too sure I followed that, but
no, and he is correct in the fact that it can also be a joint in the pipe under the floor, not necessarily in the wall, but under the concrete floor.
Mm-hmm.
Not far, and it could be somewhere between the floor drain and the shower drain, to where when you pour water in that floor drain and it starts putting water down that pipe, maybe that gives it some kind of reaction to a broken pipe or a crack or a separated pipe or something that happened. And so basically the smoke bomb, what they do is they fill those pipes with smoke, and then they wait and see. Do you see smoke? I've seen this done before, and I had a basement in a house that we were doing that in, and all of a sudden you see this smoke coming out like at the edge of the wall, at the base of a finished wall, and coming out and just forcing its way out. So that smoke will start to come out, and you might start seeing it somewhere, and that kind of gives you a direction of where you're looking for, that maybe that pipe is separated, not glued, or something like that. 7 years old, it could be as simple as they just didn't glue a fitting, and it's starting to kind of come apart and letting the smell out there, and then it's coming around your shower pipe, maybe not necessarily through it. Another thing that I've done to kind of watch is if you can look down that shower drain and see that the water go to the toilet and flush the toilet, or have somebody else do that while you watch that water and see if that water moves. Because I've seen breathing problems in the pipe where the water sucks down and back up, and it starts to let some of that smell out. And I can tell you, I had one shower years ago that we tried everything. We did smoke tests. We sent cameras down. We did absolutely everything to try and figure out why they were getting this smell in this one particular shower with no avail whatsoever. And what we ended up doing is finding a rubber piece that fit inside of a 2-inch pipe. And basically you push this rubber piece into the 2-inch pipe, and it was kind of like a flapper, like a valve. Basically, when water was draining, it would open up and let the water drain down. And when water stopped draining, it would shut and hold the smell underneath kind of that valve. And that is literally what we ended up doing to make that stop.
What do you call that valve? Or what would?
I truly have no idea. That was about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And it was just like a piece of black plastic ring with like a rubber kind of shut off type deal that was kind of closed. And when water would run down, it would open. It would take a lot of Google searching, just trying to try different names of like valve, things like that, to see if we can find it.
Okay. I had one other thing happen that, the last time the odor, came up, we decided, well, let's not put the water down the utility drain right away. Let's see what happens. Does it get a lot worse or does it go away?
Mm-hmm.
It stayed the same for about a day and a half, and then we had a hard rain. The hard rain came, the smell went away.
Hmm.
That really blew my mind.
Yeah, that is definitely interesting, how the rain would make the smell go away.
Yeah.
I really don't have an answer for that at all, other than maybe it's if you're getting ground moisture and it's kind of sealing something up temporarily. And yeah, it's, but these smells, these things, they are very odd. They are hard to track. And if it's something like that, like I said, sometimes there's just no explanation. You never come out of it with an explanation. It's kind of like seeing the doctor and they go, well, you know, it went away, so you're good. Well, what was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's good that it's gone. And you're like, well, I don't know that makes me feel any better. You know, but it can be very, very tricky, very, very hard to track. And sometimes, I mean, I had a house, we tracked the smells in this house for years in different areas. And it was literally like, I mean, we found like 5 different things wrong at different times and did all sorts of plumbing work. And it's not even, I'm not even sure which one was doing something at what time. So sometimes it can literally be a couple things, and it's trying to track them down can be extremely difficult. But maybe camera scoping in the drains from that floor drain and around might show them something too. If there's an area that's holding water and it kind of, when it dries out, that's when you start to get the smell because of a crack or something disconnected. And then you pour water into that floor drain and it makes that pipe hold water again. And it, till that water goes away. And if it's a hole or a crack or a disconnect, groundwater could have filled it up to make it stop during the smell during the rain this time. So there's a lot of theories, but they're all theories and takes a lot of work to investigate.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a temporary solution and I don't want to open it up to a major construction project.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So maybe we do some Googling and see if we can find that little flapper piece that, and you can try that and see if it takes care of it.
Well, the camera idea, is that something that would be Roto-Rooter versus the plumber?
Yeah, it would be. I know a lot of plumbers, you know, do that or have somebody that does that for them. So it doesn't have to be actual Roto-Rooter. There's a lot of people that do that. So,
okay.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep, you're very welcome. Appreciate it. Hey, we're going to get into our break here again. We've got full show today, all the time for you today, all the way up to 1 o'clock. So check it out. Get in with us. Any calls, any questions, any comments, any concerns, a lot of rain, a lot of stuff to deal with. 314-436-7900 gets to me. Anything you need, I'm here for you today, live and lively. We'll be right back after this with more to come. All right, everybody, we're back. Rich Orris here, Home Improvement Show. Got some really good, interesting things happening, and we got plenty of time for you. You can find me, 314-436-7900. Let's jump to Tom. He's been waiting the longest here. See what's going on with Tom. Are you there, Tom? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's up?
Your previous caller brought up memories. It's the same. I have a tub and shower in a bathroom, and I've had two problems. And one was like him, I was getting not all the time, but a sewer smell coming out of the drain.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it wouldn't drain well. So I went up on the roof. I got four vents for my sewer going through the roof, and I knew which one was close to that bathroom. And I ran water through a hose down there. I thought, okay, maybe that's not open. Well, water went down it well, so I canceled that out. So I finally called a plumber, and he came and looked. And within minutes, he goes, here's your problem. Where the vent hooked into the sewer pipe with a T there, that pipe had sagged. So It was supposed to be a quarter inch per foot fall, and it was sagged so that water was staying.
In the vent pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that created a smell. So all we had to do is, you know, he cut it off and
raised it up, got the pitch.
Redid it, raised it upright, and that's went away. Then in the same shower about 2 years later, it's all the same, like, oh, wow, it's the same thing. Well, that turned out it wasn't that, but the shower door fits in a track on the bottom, and there was built up with mold underneath that track. You couldn't see it, and that's where the smell was coming from. That mold was making the whole bathroom stink.
Wow, yeah,
and
yeah.
You don't see it. You can't see it. You know, we clean the tub and stuff. You don't ever, but that's where we took that off, and oh my God, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
About gag you.
That's why they've changed shower doors so much nowadays too, with slope sills and not a lot of track or not a lot on the bottom of the door, just straight glass, because then it can run off and you can see those areas. So newer shower doors help eliminate that. So yeah, really? But I've had the vent, like you said, Tom, too, where I had a client where they had a leak, and it ended up being the plumbing vent leaking. It sagged, like you said, and what happened was you're up in the attic, so it's like outdoor temperatures. It was full of water. It froze, expanded, and cracked the plastic pipe. And so when rain would come in that vent pipe, they would get a water stain, and they're like, it keeps returning. And I'm like, well, your pipe broke, and you're getting water running through it. And it's, you know, if it sags the wrong way and it holds too much water, yeah, it can freeze because it's up in your attic and it's outside temperatures. Yeah. So, yeah, appreciate that, Tom. There's definitely a lot of different ways and areas to find these things. Let's jump over to Rick and see. I think Rick has a solution for the drain kind of backdraft damper I was talking about. Rick, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Do you have something for that?
In response to your previous caller, I live in a villa in O'Fallon. I had a third bathroom in the basement, which we never used. And I always noticed the gas is coming out of the little bit out of the shower stall. A plumber came in here years ago, oh gosh, more than 10 years ago, and he got me a trap guard protector.
Oh.
And that's exactly what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
It's for 2-inch PVC. You take the lid off, you slide it down in there, and it's a rubber snoot, and it's got like an accordion thing on it. And it lets the water through, but the gas is back.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly. Yeah, I actually Googled during the break and found the exact piece that we used a long time ago. It's kind of the exact same thing.
They still have them.
The one I found is called a 2-inch drain seal.
Yeah,
it's for showers and general, and it just seals off from underneath, but lets the water through. So for Jim out there, trap guard protector, search that or search 2-inch drain seal, and you'll find a couple of options of what to put in there. Appreciate that.
You just need to notice if it's got the 2-inch PVC or copper or whatever pipe, and it just pushes in there.
Yep.
It gets clogged up with soap every once in a while, but it's for a bathroom. It's never used, more so on a lower level.
Yeah. Jim will have a little more maintenance of probably taking it out, clean it up, put it back every now and then, that sort of thing. So, but hey,
there you go.
Appreciate the call, Rick. We're going to jump into our break. Bob, I will come straight to you in a couple minutes right after this quick break. I promise, for anyone else, 314-436-7900. Get you to me. Anything you need about your house, more to come. Home improvement. One, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Right here with me, Rich Orris, your go-to guy for everything about your home. 314-436-7900 is where I'm at right now. We've got Bob, who's nice enough to hold through the break. Let's get to Bob and see what's happening with him there. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Rich, can you hear me?
I can, absolutely. Thanks for calling. Awesome. What's happening?
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call, first of all. And I've got two questions. One is I'm probably going to need a new shop vacuum. So I'm not sure, what kind I'm going to get. I got an old Craftsman. I got a couple of other off-brand names, with the cartridge filters. And so my question on that would be, do you guys like the bag or bagless? And then my second question is, a friend of mine calls me up in a terror. He's putting in a bathtub, in those composite tubs, and it creaks. And so he's gutted both his bathrooms, but he's got his walls in, his tub in, everything is in on the one bathroom. But when he steps in, it creaks. I said, well, I don't, did you follow the instructions?
Yeah.
Was my first question. And so I'm going to take a look at it for him on Monday. But do you have any, have you ever heard of anything like this? Is there any kind of a quick set they put in there or any foam or?
Yeah. You said it's a bathtub, not a shower floor.
Yeah. No, it's a bathtub. Yeah, it's
okay.
Like an American standard, but these days I think they're composites. It's not
a
cast iron tub or anything, so the weight is probably not going to be near as much as.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think you kind of get the gist of my question. What should I look for, and how can I help him with that?
Yeah, so if it's an acrylic tub, those tubs tend to do that from time to time. And it's really all just because of that material and then kind of how it's set in there and how it's installed, that a lot of those acrylic type, it'll feel like plastic. It's an acrylic material.
Mm-hmm.
They will creak like that. Sometimes it's because they have like where they sit on the floor. So if you're not sitting real perfect and it's not backed, a lot of times with like acrylic shower floors and things like that, we pour kind of like a mud set or a plaster type material to kind of set that tub or that shower base down into like almost like a mortar
and
really set it down into that to try and solid that thing up, because when it's not solid and you get movement is when you get that creaking. And there's not a lot to do with that. It's something I always try and warn people up front looking at those types of tubs and really go to either a cast iron or the steel, something like that. A different material is what's not going to do that creaking. Not all the acrylics will creak if they're sitting in there and solid, because sometimes it can even be just if your floor is moving, then your tub is moving with it. Maybe it's not even necessarily the tub, but if you've got some deflection in the floor joist, when I get into that tub, I'm going to have a higher chance of that tub creaking than my wife. Right, because it could be from the floor all the way up. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, but my approach to it was he sent me some pictures, and I said, well, I see you got a bunch of shims in there to, you know, get the direction, you know, to get the drain flow.
Yeah.
I said, but I've never done one of these before, so, you know, I've only done heavy-duty stuff, and like you said, you know, usually you put something in there, but, you know, what do you do after you already set it in there and got your walls in? You
know, yeah, that's going to be the tough part.
The instructions.
If he's got shims and things to make it do what it needs, that's probably the biggest portion why that's happening for him.
Okay. Well, would you think maybe some type of slow expanding foam may, you know, because he's got the other bathroom, the adjoining back wall, you know, I mean, is all opened up. And so I said,
so he can get to it from there. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can get in there and do something, but what kind of suggestion would you have? I mean, is there, you know, if he's got a bunch of shims, which I, you know, from the picture, you know, I mean, I can just see there's something there that's changed the direction of that horizontal, you know, part of the bathtub, you know, and I, you know, without actually seeing it, I can't really say, but I mean, would you have any other suggestions? Foam or non-expanding foam or something that might be appropriate?
Well, if it's all open to the backside, yeah, if you tried some of that expanding foam to kind of fill up some of those areas, that might really help. I mean, they use foam to lift concrete and do all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, that might be something that really helps if you can get to that from that backside and put that between all those shims just to kind of try and solid that thing up. Not a bad idea at all. On your shop vac, I've never had a bagged one, but I would imagine the right bag with HEPA filters and all that's going to be a better filtering kind of shop vac than the non-bag with the just filters that slip over and everything. But you know, you get what you pay for, and I've always just had the regular non-bag shop vacs and. Okay. Keep up with it, keep it clean. They work really well, you know, and just it's a little more maintenance and a little more staying on top of it to keep the dust in it and changing your filters and all that. So
I got one more quick part on that
completely
tub.
Out of time. Can you hold on through the break here? And I could get you at the top of the hour. Yep. I've got about 10 seconds here. So we're going to get into our break. Bob, if you want to hold on, we'll get to you at the top of the next hour. And for everybody else, 314-436-7900. All right, everybody, we're back. And we got 97.1 FM fans joining us there, too. So twice the people, twice the fun, hopefully twice the calls. Let's see what we can get coming in. 314-436-7900 finds me, Rich Orris, your man here to help you out with anything around and about your house. And as promised, let's get right back to Bob and see how we can continue to help with this bathtub. Bob, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rich.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's a long break with the news and everything. You're a good man.
I understand, no problem. Hey, my other question was, should I get like a 300-pound dude in that bathtub as we're squirting in whatever we can do? Because, you know, I think that that might help to get the thing set, you know, at least get it, you know, to fill in all the voids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so what I would recommend is, because the other area you got to watch, if you think about the theory, and if you can see the side of this bathtub from the other bathroom, it's about the bathtub sitting solid. So you got the edge on the board where your shims are going to be, and then you've got the floor underneath it. And if you've got shims there too, I would put somebody in there to get in and out and kind of do that and hear the squeaks and watch from the other side before you do anything, because that might help narrow it down. Then you can try stuff to try and mitigate it and see how it works. And definitely don't close up the other bathroom until you know you got something that's worked.
Yeah, because we're definitely, the way it looks from the picture you sent, I said, you're only going to be able to access it from one side. You know what I mean? So if it's on the back, on the front side, where he's already got his floor and everything's already finished, he put the subfloor in, got the walls up, I think it's onyx. And, you know, I said, I don't know how you're going to get around, you know, if the creek's on the other side, you know.
Yep.
So
yeah, and that's
without tearing everything back out. So I mean, he's like frantic, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well,
yep.
What else can we do? I mean, but you think the 300 pounder would be good to get?
Yeah, no, that would definitely
do the rain dance.
Yep, that would definitely be a good thing, because then you can kind of see the tub from the other side, watch it, see where the creeks might be coming from, and really know if something's going to work or not. So,
yeah.
All right.
But you just reaffirmed what I already thought was going to happen.
That's what I do most times.
Fun, I'm sure.
yeah. Yep, you're on the right track.
That's awesome.
Yep, good luck, Bob.
You're awesome, Rich. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. Hey, we got Matt on the line. Let's jump over and see what's going on with Matt.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Well, we're not. We got a flooded basement out here in Washington, and has carpet, padding, and all that.
Uh-huh.
It's best just to rip all that out.
Yeah, definitely the carpet, the pad. You'll want to rip out anything that's wet.
Even the tack strips?
Like, anything that's wet that's like that kind of material. The tack strips, you could probably, they'll be fine because it's kind of like a 2x4 in the wall. You don't necessarily need to rip out a 2x4 in the wall, but you might want to remove some of the drywall because the drywall can have mold grow on it, and you want to create an area where inside that wall can kind of breathe. So that's why those they rip out all the carpet, all the soft stuff, and then they go around, and a lot of times they'll just drill holes into the wall cavities, or they'll take off the base trim and just take off a strip of drywall to let that inside of that wall have some air for a while.
Yeah, we have a restoration coming, so
yep. So they'll do all
they
that.
Have those big, yeah, they have all those dehumidifiers.
Yep, they'll run the equipment, all that stuff. Sometimes if it got too bad, they'll tear out those walls, maybe even a foot or something, foot or two high, to really open them up. So, yep.
All right, thanks.
But, yeah, you're definitely not going to be able to reuse carpet, pad, any kind of cloth, stuff like that. Is once it's wet, it's just not going to be the same.
My wife is saying, oh, they can dry that out. And I'm like, no, they can't. So
yeah, typically not.
We ripped half of it already before I called you.
Yeah, yeah. Good man. Right, you're on the right track. So, yeah, again, just another reconfirm. You're there. You're doing the right thing, getting the company out there, getting that stuff out. So, yeah, appreciate the question and the call, Matt.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. And I'm sure there are too many people out there that have had from these type of rains, the flooding, and a lot of times too, there's kind of like maintenance and things that you can look at, things that you can check out, or have professionals come and just kind of check this stuff out in advance, because you could live somewhere for years and never have water, and then all of a sudden things change enough that you start getting the water and different things start happening. So you cannot have water for several years. And then all of a sudden you've got this groundwater coming that is bringing in sump pumps running and all this. And there's really not much of an answer to, like, why would that happen all of a sudden? I'll have a hard time forgetting a project quite some years ago that on a basement refinish that we were doing, and we were putting in a wet bar, and we were tearing out some of the concrete floor and digging in the dirt underneath the floor so we can run drain lines over to an area in the basement to put in a wet bar. And My workers out there started calling me, and I'm running the job and everything, and they're calling me and they're going, hey, we think we hit a water line or something. There's so much water underneath this basement floor. It just keeps coming. And just digging that trench, it was all groundwater. I'm going, oh, I got to come by and see this, because there's no water lines under there. They're all drains. It wouldn't be that much water. And basically just from digging that trench, it just kind of redirected some groundwater, and we had to sump pump the water out of that trench just to be able to do the work. And we ended up installing a sump pump that collects all that water and runs constantly. And I'm going to tell you, these people lived in this house for like 30 years, never had anything in that basement, never a single water issue. And like 30 years later, they got a sump pump that runs all the time in these wet conditions, and it's constant. So it's definitely it's tough, and it just happens. So keeping up and checking and doing all that is a good idea. But hey, I'm gonna jump into our break real quick so we have time for the calls coming in. So we've got Lee and Cynthia calling in. So we'll get to you guys right after this break. And we'll have plenty of time for everyone out there. 314-436-7900. Get you right to me. And for now, we'll have more Home Improvement Show for you right after this. Great conversations happening. Great questions. A lot of topics. I'm sure we got all the rain. We're going to have more of the water, the flood. How do I control it? We've had a couple already. But let's jump straight to Lee here and see what's going on with our friend Lee. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Well, here's the situation. I have a rear entry garage, right?
Okay.
And it's located on the basement level. So when I pull the car in and go into my house, I enter into the basement to go upstairs to the house, the main house.
Okay.
Now, my wife came home from work last night, or yesterday afternoon, and there was water in the basement floor, you know, and my basement is finished. It's ceramic tile. And I said, she told me, she says, hey, go down and look in the basement. And I'm looking, I'm saying, well, how did this water get in here? Is it coming up through the bottom of the floor? So I go in the storage area, and that's the only part of the basement that's not finished. It's just concrete floor.
Okay.
There was water seeping up through the concrete in the storage area. I'm not understanding how this happens or how does this get in. But, yeah, you know, it's just,
yeah.
It was just really strange.
Yeah. Was it kind of coming up, like, right at the location of the wall? Like where the floor meets the wall?
No.
Oh,
it was throughout the basement, and in the storage area, it's where the furnace and the hot water heater and all that stuff is. It's just concrete, and it was coming up, like up through the floor.
Was there
I couldn't understand
a crack
that.
In the floor where it was coming up? Or
No, there's no crack.
Okay, so it's just literally soaking through the concrete.
Yeah, do I have some type of void under my house or something? Water?
No, yeah, so you don't have a void, but what it sounds like is you definitely have a lot of groundwater coming up through that concrete floor from underneath the floor. And basically what happens, if you had a void, it would hold more of the water. But when you don't have a void, what happens is the weight of the house, the weight of the concrete footings, the concrete floor, and just the weight of the overall entire house pushing down on the ground makes the water lift to the top. So it's hydrostatic pressure brings the water up towards the top surface. Now, generally, it finds a path to a crack, and it will a lot of times come up right where it's meeting the wall, or if there's cracks in the basement floor, which they put cracks in the basement floor on purpose to control where it's going to crack, because expansion and contraction and all that. So it will come up through those cracks, or your concrete is absolutely porous. It is porous. It's not completely solid. So water will soak down into it, which means with enough pressure, it can come up through those pores and just start emerging into a low spot on the basement floor.
Well, what about the finished portion of the basement? Like, there's ceramic tile.
Yeah.
And it was just seeping up through there.
It's still getting there. It will still be able to come through there. And the mortar, the grout, everything is just pretty much just as porous as the concrete floor is, and that water can permeate its way through. I've seen it in spots. I've seen it in low spots where there's no cracks, and it just creates like a puddle in a low spot out in the middle of nowhere. And they're like, how did I just get a puddle of water there? Well, you're lower here than you are on the end, so that's where your water's kind of seeping its way through. But yes, your answer is groundwater. Control the groundwater. You'll need some sort of sump pump system around to collect that water from underneath that basement floor and get it back outside again, so that that stops happening. And
well,
unfortunately,
I don't have a sump pump, but I threw probably a dozen bath towels down on top of it. You know, it wasn't, you know, like flooded. The basement wasn't flooded, but the water was just, it was there, you know. And so I threw all these towels down and, you know, to try to absorb some of that water.
Sure.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it.
Water is simply amazing. And, definitely water is one of the key elements that Mother Nature uses to try and bring us all back to nature, to ashes to ashes, dust to dust, all that stuff that we build a house and she's trying to tear that thing back down and get back to nature. And water is one of the big ones that she uses to do that. So, and we've just got to try and control it. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just went and took, like I said, a dozen or more bath towels and just spread it out on the floor.
Yep. And I would say,
that.
Yep. And keep it clean for now. And if it continues to happen, or you just need to get with a good foundation water management basement company to say, what's a solution? There are better solutions than others. I would do a lot of homework if you're hearing solutions on what those solutions are. Talk to a lot of people. Basement foundation work, sump pumps, all this stuff can be pretty tricky and pretty tricky to understand. So,
are we talking like a French drain or something?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Yep, it's a sump pump with a drainage tile system that goes around the basement on the perimeter. And so the bad part is wherever you have walls and wherever you have that ceramic tile floor, you have to take out part of the wall and you have to take out part of that floor to get the system in around the entire basement. So it could be a massively huge project.
You're correct because
So it might be something you keep your eye on for a while too, and see if it was just because of the rains that we had. Does it ever happen again, and how often does it happen, and are you know when do you get into that ginormous project trying
to
control it?
Well, I've never had the problem.
Yeah,
never had the problem before,
and might never again, but probably not. Now that you've had it, you get rains as bad as we got yesterday, you'll probably have it happen again. It's just going to take certain types of rains to do it.
Well, it's still raining here today.
Yeah,
as I said, I'm sitting in my garage now, wondering if I'm going to get water in the garage.
and you may. Still. Yep, and it's about ground saturation, so it's not always about like how fast it rains or how hard. You get 8 inches in 2 hours and it floods and it does all this stuff. That's a lot of rain, but also 8 inches over 3 days could do this exact same thing by the third day. Even though it's steady and it's long, it's just a lot of water getting into that ground. So, hey, appreciate the call there, Lee. Definitely, I appreciate what you're up against. I wish you all the luck trying to get it handled, and hopefully maybe it just doesn't come back after a while there. Let's jump over to Cynthia and see what Cynthia has going on for us.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking our call.
Thank you for calling. What's happening?
Well, we're in the flood club too, so tell that gentleman don't feel bad.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are.
Yeah. Anyway, what I called about is our tarlet. I got a question because we got a little guy that comes once in a while, and I think I know the answer, but I want a professional answer. And anyway, we had somebody over that was overweight, you know, and we got this tarlet, and it's been a while since it's been in. It's one of them that they advertise on TV that the kids put all that stuff in, you know, and you flush it and it still goes down. Well, sometimes this tarlet flushes good and sometimes it don't. And we had this person over that was kind of really heavy. And I say that the seal is broke, and because it's, I've seen feces coming around the, and he said no. So anyway, if we would take the tarlet up and get a new seal for it, am I saying it right? Would that probably take care of the problem that it would flush right also?
So, where you're seeing stuff is it kind of coming out from underneath the toilet?
Yes.
So that's definitely that seal, what we call that wax ring. And there's different ones today. Yeah. There's wax rings, and now there's like foam wax rings, and there's rubber wax rings that they use that, I'm a little old school, and I used one of the newer ones on one of my newer toilets, and it was really like I had my eye on it for a long time just to make sure, because anything new, you know, the older we get and we're used to what we've done for years, we're like, if it's worked for 35, 40 years, why are we changing it now? Well, because there's easier, better, cleaner, smarter, faster, all that. But so the seal is what you need for that, and making sure that it's like kind of a tall enough seal and that the toilet is really mounted tight. It's kind of like the squeaky bathtub. If you have any movement, that's what causes that seal to change.
I notice no, I not notice no movement.
But the seal shouldn't affect the flushing. Something else with the flushing. If it flushes good sometimes and not others, it's either the pipes are kind of sort of half clogging or something like that's going on more so than just, you know, the wax ring or the seal letting a little bit leak. And I would suggest having them kind of run a snake through, or when that toilet's up, kind of run a snake down and just have them make sure things seem clear.
Because it is an older home.
Because that will cause the flushing thing on and off. Because if it kind of is half backed up and just not flushing well, it'll flush, but it just won't flush super well. But then once that clears up, you're like, oh, it's flushing great again. And then it doesn't. And it could just be stuff getting hung up temporarily in the pipe. It could be 5-6 feet away or 10-12 feet away, and it's just causing it not to get the right airflow and let things flow through well, because those newer toilets have a lot of power and a lot of pressure to them, so they rely more on the ventilation and the air than the older toilets did. The older toilets used more water to push through. Now we're utilizing air more with less water. And so any little clogs like that can make them kind of not flush properly. So I would ask them about snaking that out and making sure things are clear further down the road, and make sure the vent's working and all of that. So
Okay.
For that and, half of the problem. All righty.
Is that Angie's List a good place to go find a handyman? See, my husband's handicapped.
I would call a plumbing company.
Okay.
I would literally call like a plumbing company, Kirkwood Plumbing or somebody like that for that task more so than a handyman. Most handymen aren't going to really be able to snake the drains. A lot of them will say they can take the toilet off and reseal it and put it back, but it's going to be hit or miss on can they really, how good are they at it? And a professional plumber would cost a little bit more, but you know they've done a lot of it. And you know they're going to be good at setting that toilet, because the last thing you want is 3 months later, you're having it again and the seal's bad. And it's like they didn't notice something wrong and repeated the same problem. And now you're up against it again. You're better off to pay for it one time with an actual plumber.
Right. Is what I'd say. I got one more little question. I did take the tank top off and noticed that the inside the tank was kind of like, we used to have well water, but not since we got this this toilet here. And I guess it's just dirty from the calcium or whatever. And can I clean that with like Purex or how do I do that?
Yeah, like Lime Away. You can clean it with some kind of cleaner for that type of thing. Lime Away, one of those that does that type of calcium. Yep, you could clean it with that and then just flush it and flush everything through and you'll be good.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Okay. Appreciate thank you very much for your program.
Yeah, very welcome. I appreciate the call. We're going to get into our middle hour break here. We've got Jim on the line. If you could hold the line for a moment here, we'll get into the break. We'll have plenty more calls, questions, comments, concerns when we return. Don't touch that dial. All right, we're back. Plenty happening today. A lot of water talk, a lot of flooding, a lot of control water, obviously, with all of the rain and the conditions we've had the past few days, the past few weeks. We've had a lot of weather going on. It's been pretty extreme, so it doesn't surprise me at all. But if you've got something for me, don't hesitate. 314-436-7900. Still got some time for everybody to jump right in. And speaking of that, we've got Jim on the line. Let's get over to the Jim and see what's going on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm on a regular sewer system. What about using Ridex in all the drains, the sinks and the toilets and so on and so forth? What's your answer on that?
So, yes, that is definitely a good habit to go ahead and get in. It's not something that Ridex claims to try and get people to do. They're like, well, it's for the septic systems, but it eats away at all of that grime and the stuff that gets in those pipes. So, yes, if you take the dry, like the powdered Ridex, and you put like a tablespoon in about an 8-ounce glass of water, mix it up, and you dump one of those in each of your drains, each toilet, each sink, wherever you have drains going, and then just let it sit, let it do its thing. You can't, it'll wash through as you use those drains, and it will help kind of eat that stuff away and all of that. And it is definitely it doesn't hurt. It's definitely a good thing to do, and it's not real costly or super expensive.
I usually do that around the first of the month. Is that too often every month?
Yeah, you definitely don't need to do it every month, but a couple times a year I think would be all right, or even maybe every quarter, four times a year would be plenty.
Okay, I'm afraid if I use it too often, might ruin the plastic pipes that we have in the house.
Yeah, and it shouldn't. Now you could do it once a month, and it shouldn't ruin the plastic pipes for any reason, but. They'll be cleaner. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I thank you, sir, for your service.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for the call. Not a problem at all. I appreciate it. And let's jump over to Mark and see what's happening with Mark. How you doing?
Yeah, I've got an answer for the guy that had the problem with the water seeping through his floor. If you, I had that in my house probably 25 years ago, and the plumber came in and he said, take a quarter inch drill and just drill down below the cement. And he goes, it'll piss water out until it equalizes, just hydrostatic pressure, instead of digging out a trench all the way around your basement. And I did that, and I had a geyser in my basement for about 6 inches for probably a day, and never had an issue again.
Really?
It doesn't actually meet code, because you have poked a hole in that pipe, but if anybody can ever find that, it'd be a miracle. But I never had that issue again.
So you just, did you drill into the drain pipe?
I drilled into the drain pipe.
I got
you. The water would drain right down the drain, and I got, I just drilled in on an angle, but I was below the level of the base of the concrete. Because what happens is all that gravel they got in there, it all fills up with water, and it'll just follow that gravel till it gets to that little hole. And, you know, if you got two drains down there, I'd put two of them in, but I had water that was coming through my floor probably 30 feet from that drain pipe, and that never happened again.
Yeah, no, and yeah, that, I mean, you're definitely right, and hopefully you got to kind of be in that whole nobody can see this or know this type of thing, because it is against code and all of that. They're trying not to mix groundwater and sewer water.
Right.
But right. It does work, and I've seen a lot of homes that take a pipe and go into a drain like that to get rid of that groundwater. And water will take the path of least resistance. So, yeah, it'll start filling up that hole and going down that sewer drain. Yep. So I can't personally recommend that as a licensed contractor, but I've seen a lot of people do it, and it definitely will take water away. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
Cool. Appreciate it, Mark. Thanks for the call. And yeah, that's what I've seen. Plenty of houses. I'm always advising kind of that's something that if we go to finish your basement or do this work or think something, we'll end up having to change during a project, because we have a responsibility and a reliability as that contractor and that licensed person to say, yep, I'm going to pull permits. It's on me to understand what these regulations are and how I have to do things for you and go ahead and make sure that I get that right for you. But there's a lot of things like that that work. One of the biggest ones I run into a lot is adding laundry sinks. And a lot of people, that they add these laundry sinks in these older homes and they're not vented properly. And for us as a licensed plumber, we can't always put something in that way, and it's against code, but they're looking at me like, well, this laundry sink's been here for 20 years and this thing drains fine. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But once we come in, we have to do things a certain way in order to be up to code and to live with that responsibility and what needs to happen. We're the ones that'll take the effect of not doing something right. And it is amazing, because it's like, yeah, it's been draining for 20 years. Why would you need to do something different? You think they would be fine with that, but unfortunately they're not. So we're going to get into our final break of the show. We got one more fast track segment left for you. If you've got a question, you got a concern, feel free to jump in. Give me a call in the final segment, 314-436-7900. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. And we'll have more home improvement after this. Friends, family, concerned listeners with questions, welcome back to the final segment of the Home Improvement Show. I'm Rich Orris here for you, and we've got Steve on the line. Let's jump straight to Steve and see what's going on there. Steve, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Awesome. Thanks for calling. What's up?
I got a swimming pool heater I just purchased, and I've got it all plumbed with the PVC and everything, and now I need a gas line running to it. A lot of people say I can't do that myself because it's got a hook to the meter. And then some people say if I go on, you know, on the inside of the house, like I can do that myself. And just, you know, they say I need 55 foot of a gas line. And that's my last hurdle to get this heater hooked up. And I was just wondering if you had any comments about that or if I should just buy a big tank and set it out there. Some people say I wouldn't have enough pressure then.
Well, yeah, you definitely got to watch the pressure that you need getting the gas to that pool heater. And the other thing is you got to watch the size of the line that you take it off of, because if you've got too much on a line already of a certain size, then you won't get enough pressure. So if you've got, you know, the heater inside and the gas stove range and a gas fireplace all on a half inch or 3/4 inch line from inside the house, you add that pool heater to that and it may not work out for you. It may not be enough. And this is exactly why it needs to be running. That gas line is something that would require a permit in the municipality, and they just want to make sure that there's a licensed person doing it, they're doing the right things, and that they put it in the right way. And you as a homeowner still have a responsibility, just like I do as the licensed contractor, to say, yeah, this is what I should be doing. And there's ways around that for you to do it yourself. I've talked to several homeowners over the years that basically went into their municipality and took an electrical test and passed it, and then did their own electrical work, pulled their own permit only for their residence, not for like other places. And then they can get inspections and still get to do it themselves. And I'm guessing maybe plumbing could be the same way. They just want to reassure that it's getting done right. So it's much easier than you think to get it wrong.
Right. Well, yeah. I just didn't know, because, I mean, they're wanting a pretty penny to do that.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's like everything these days. Get it done before the tariffs, right? Because, you never know. Like, everything's getting so costly and so expensive. I totally, totally get that. And you just got to, you know, make sure you fulfill the obligation to get it right. You know, regardless.
All right, well, I thank you very much, and I guess I'll just bite the bullet and have it done, you know, the right way.
Yep. I would say for that task, that would be the place I would put it. And this is kind of the same, like I talk to people about remodeling, where it's like, well, do simple things all over, but splurge on your countertops or splurge on your backsplash tile. Like, pick a spot to really do a good thing. Well, you can do that the same way with the actual structure and utilities and the important pieces that a lot of people don't think about. It's like, splurge on the gas line and do the rest yourself, and just make sure that portion is correct. A couple years ago, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, when my son was moving into his townhouse that he bought, and we were running an electric range for him. I have all the knowledge, all the capability, 100% to do that myself. And maybe down the road, no one would know or whatever, but if you go to sell, they see something has changed or something's different, there's not a sticker on the box that says so-and-so worked on it, or you don't have a record of that inspection, it can come back to kind of haunt you a little bit. So even I was like, you know what, I'm going to get our electrician in here. We're going to run this the right way. We're going to pull a permit. It's going to cost me a little bit more, but I know I'm not going to have any headaches down the road, and I've got somebody responsible for this portion of it that's licensed, that understands and can take care of everything, and I just know that it's good. I'm comfortable enough with me doing it, but I'm not the licensed person, so I can't get that permit and I can't do all of that. And so it was, you know, just do it the right way, be safe, get the right person in there for the right job, and do the in-betweens on the DIY and all of that, and save your investment and your funds and everything there, and pick those pieces to get it right, because it is very, very important. And I did want to go back real quick to the first call with the window wells and getting that water away, and just remind Alan and everybody out there, when the water's on the outside, try and get rid of that water from the outside. I've heard a lot of times, I've seen them bring a pipe into the house and then run it to the sump pump system underneath the basement floor. And it's like, man, my theory, if it's already outside, handle it outside if you can. Don't bring any extra in. It's just something good to get it away, and don't have that. Don't invite it in. Don't be the one. So, hey, everybody, great show, great questions, great calls from everyone. I absolutely love it, and I will look forward to talking to everybody next week.